Thank you. So this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
What great joy it is to come to the church tonight and be able to share this time together as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. We have an opportunity to sing together about this joy, and the first song is called "Joy to the World." If you'd like to stand, if you're able, please do so.
Thank you.
the video talked about the king of the universe who comes down as a humble babe. And you would think that if God, at least if I were calling shots, that we would be heralding the arrival of the great king to kings and princesses and priests and things. But instead, do you remember who got the heavenly choir? Yeah, the shepherds did. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there when that choir appeared? Woo! We're going to sing Angels We Have Heard on High.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountain hill replies, echoing their joyous name. Lord, in exalts his name, Lord, in exalts his name. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels see. Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King.
You're going to have to bear with me tonight. I caught a Christmas cold today. But greet with me the one who left his throne to set us free. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming thy royal degree. But of lowly birth thou didst come to earth for thy great humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Thou camest, O Lord, with the living word that should set thy people free. But with mocking scorn and with crown of thorn, they bore thee to Calvary. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. When the heavens shall ring and the angels sing at thy coming to victory, let thy voice call me home, saying, yet there is room at my side for thee. My heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, when thou comest and callest for me.
Lord Jesus, that is our prayer tonight, that there would be room in our heart for you. Thank you that you did leave your home, your heavenly throne, came to be among us. Amen. This evening I would like to speak to you on the question, just how extraordinary is the incarnation of Christ. The story of the birth of Jesus Christ that is found in the Gospel of John, his birth, is stated in one verse. I don't believe you can find anything else that talks about his birth in the Gospel of John. Verse 14 of chapter 1, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. But you say, the name of Jesus is not even mentioned in that verse. How then can I say that this is the birth story of Jesus? It's a good question. The verse simply says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. But did you notice that the Word is also identified as a person? That's curious, isn't it? But it's not unusual for a person to have a nickname. Sonics fans of a previous decade would identify the glove as no Sonics fans left anymore. Baseball fans would quickly identify Yogi as Yogi Berra. And Seahawks football fans would quickly respond to the nickname of the Legion of Boom as a group of elite defenders, a team within the team. As a youth, sometime during my fourth grade year, I was given the nickname Fuzzy because of the long hair on my arms. Well, then Jesus had a nickname, if you would. His was the Word. Verses 1 and 2 of John 1 tell us about this most unique person with the nickname the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word existed before the world began. He was in the beginning. And furthermore, he had a relationship with God. The Word was with God. But not only was the Word with God in equality and distinction, the Word was God. Now that's a whole lot to get your mind wrapped around. To be with someone whom you are. So this nudges us to think about God as a triunity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God in three persons. Jesus, the Word, was with God. Jesus, the Word, was God. Both statements are true because of the nature of God as triune. God consists of the relationship of three persons, each equally God. Not three separate gods, but one God in three persons. Dr. Timothy George describes it this way: the personality of God is seen in the relationship of total and mutual self-giving, almost like they each try to outgive the other, by which the Father gives everything to the Son. The Son offers back all He has to glorify the Father, with the love of each being established and sealed by the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from both. The doctrine of the Trinity tells us, therefore, that relationship, that relationship within and among the Trinity, that personality expressed in love, is at the heart of the universe. Personality, relationship, at the heart of the universe. But why is Jesus called the Word? Well, back to the nickname analogy, there are reasons a person is given a nickname. There's a story behind the name. The name is descriptive. When Jesus is called the Word, it expresses His personality in the form of communication. A major way we communicate with each other is, surprisingly, with words. Jesus, coming to this earth in human flesh, is therefore a means of God communicating with us humans. Jesus is the Word of God. He is the speech of God. He demonstrated by His life on this earth that God has a rational mind. He thinks, He talks, He reasons, He initiates, He has conversations, He listens, He responds. And Jesus expresses precisely the heart and will of His Father. Jesus is the Word who is with God and is God. Jesus makes God visible to us. And maybe more importantly, Jesus makes God understandable. God becomes personal to us through His Son. He is not an abstraction or an idea. By giving us His Son in human flesh, God moves toward us as a knowable human being. But John tells us more about Jesus, and it's about the power that He has as the Word. Verse 3, through Him, the Word, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. So not only was Jesus, as God the Son, in existence from the beginning, before the universe came into being, through Him, all things were made. And all means all. As John states it in other words, he says, without Him, nothing was made that has been made. So before Jesus shows up on planet Earth in human form as a baby born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago, He created the universe, all of it. He was the Word spoken that brought the universe into existence. When God said, let there be light, Jesus was that Word. He brought into existence the whole as well as the parts. Things large and things small. Things magnificently large and things gigantically small or microscopically small. Things that were living and inert things. Through Him all things were made. So we jump forward to the Christmas story in verse 14. Back to where we started. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So John has established who Jesus is as the Word who is with God and who was God and who made all things. And now he wants to establish why Jesus came to live among us, to set up His tent right alongside of us, even within us. Verse 4, in him, the Word, was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So if Jesus, the Word of God, God in human flesh, created the universe and created us humans by speaking it all into existence, verses 4 and 5 tell us he continues to speak through his life, which is the light of men that shines in the darkness. So here's the answer to the why question. The Word became flesh so that his life would shine its light on us, around us, and in us, to chase away the darkness that is the metaphor for our fallenness, our sinfulness. And the why of Christ's coming was his mission of search and rescue of sinners like you and me. Sin alienated us from our Maker. Sin has blinded our eyes and our minds to the truth of our lostness. So God sent to us his light in his Son, Jesus Christ, to chase away the darkness so that we could see the truth of our predicament and see the person who came to redeem us and bring us into fellowship, into communion with our Maker. God spoke to his creation through prophets. And his most recent prophet prior to the start of Jesus' earthly ministry was John the Baptizer. The Apostle John tells us about him in verse 6. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So praise God for witnesses to the light of God in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the only light that can push away our darkness. So the Apostle John has told us not only who Jesus is as the Word of God, the Creator, and not only why he came to bring us life by shining his light in our darkness, but now he will tell us how he imparts to us his life, so that we are transformed more and more into his likeness. So again, back to the stable in Bethlehem with Mary and Joseph. Now looking at that newborn child, they begin to see Christ's glory, the glory that we all will see who truly believe in him and meet him. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. When Christ takes on human flesh, this is a big deal. Do you realize how big a deal it is that Jesus, the Son of God, took on human flesh? We call this the incarnation. Roger Fredrickson writes, in this act of incarnation, eternity and time were brought together. The divine and the human are united. Salvation and creation are reconciled. In other words, God's act of creation, which has been marred by sin and thus estranged his creation from him, was brought back into harmony through his act of redemption of his fallen creation. No longer can we divide the sacred and the secular. God has proclaimed his rightful ownership of all that he has created. And by this act of incarnation, he became subject to all the conditions of human existence, the weakness, the dependence, the mortality, which is our common lot. He was subject to temptation and could have sinned. His humanity is real and complete. All through his gospel, we see both his human weakness and his divine majesty. The eternal Word and Jesus of history are now one. There is a mystery here beyond which we cannot go. Suffice it to say that our only hope of sharing in the life of God is that the Word was really, truly flesh. Salvation, as a sequel to God's act of creation, now overshadows creation. Or in the words of David Bryant, the incarnation is a mightier act of God than his creation of the whole universe. The incarnation will forever mark the Lord Jesus Christ as he continues to be one of us, among us, with us, and for us. Never to be otherwise. Even when he returns in his glorious day of climactic victory. Throughout endless ages, a man delivered from death, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, will occupy the praises of heaven. A man who is at the same time God, one with the Father and the Spirit. By becoming one of us, Christ elevates everything he touches about our lives and incorporates all of it into the grand purposes of God, even our own sufferings, even our own death. Behold how God has bound himself up with us humans forever, never to turn back. You see, Christ came to live among us, to dwell within us, and he imparts to us his grace and truth. And thus we gain eyes to see his glory as the one and only Son of God who brings us life, eternal life. And he supplies us with both his living and written word by which his Holy Spirit keeps the work of our transformation going until we one day are called to stand before our Maker and answer the question, what have we done with God's gift to us? His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 9 in chapter 1 of John reads, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So how appropriate it is at Christmas for us to focus on the birth of Christ as the Word that became flesh in order that we might be born, or he might be born in us, so that we would be miraculously born of God. This Christ was born in Bethlehem and went on to demonstrate his love and his Father's love for us, for you, by going to the cross. And there, by dying for us, Christ became our purifying agent so that our sins would be forgiven and the darkness of sin would flee, because the light of his presence would take up residence within us and we would forever be and live in joyful fellowship with him. Have you come to know this Jesus? Have you received him? Are you living in continual communion and fellowship with him? God made himself known to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Your Creator wants to be your Savior. Your Savior has every right to be your Lord. Your Lord has made it possible for you to enter into a personal relationship with him, the God of creation. Welcome his forgiveness. Receive him and enter into fellowship with him today. Because the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. For a most blessed, joy-filled, and merry Christmas. Amen. For those of you who have joined us before, this is the fun time of being able to have our candles lit and to darken the room a bit. And remember the little wise thing that when your candle is lit, you want to keep it up vertical And when you want your candle lit, you're the one that turns it horizontal to receive the light of the other. It just saves wax on your clothes or elsewhere. This is a good time for reflection. Time to think about the gift of our Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ, who has become our Savior and Lord. When all the candles have been lit, then we will join together in singing Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
pause to reflect on things we've heard in the songs, in the skit, in the message, in the scripture. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to live among us, knowing full well that you were coming into a mess, knowing full well that it would cost you greatly to be for us the light that we needed. For without the presence of light, we remain in the darkness. Thank you for the gift that you are, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you break the chains of slavery to sin. Lord, most all of us know the power of sin that has been even in our own lives. And we've needed a power far greater than ourselves to break it. Thank you that you went to the cross. By giving your life, you became for us the freedom that we needed. And thank you that you continue to live among us through your Holy Spirit. As we remember your entrance into this world as a baby, may we be even more impressed and more amazed at your coming to be one of us, and that you have continued to be one of us. Thank you that you are the victorious one. We worship you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Merry Christmas to you. May this not be the last Merry Christmas that we have together. Amen. We have refreshments, I believe, a few at least, and if you'd like to remain to enjoy some conversation with others. We would love for you to do that.